Saturday morning. Time to start that Saturday morning routine. And what's a Saturday morning without... Well, yeah, that too. But you also gotta have... About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by
Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com.
Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Listen to my song every week. Yeah, the whole song. Yeah, I like it. All right, what's wrong with that? We're radio. That's what radio used to be, music. Where has it gone? Actually, it's live and well. Well, I won't say well. It's alive, but it's kind of floating around a little bit. It's amazing how technology has affected our lives in the past 20 years. Absolutely blows me away when I go back in retrospect and look at the old days. However, we're going to deal with it. Have you noticed this week, though? I got a question. Good morning, Darren. Good morning, Hacksaw.
Good morning.
Okay. I got a question for you guys. I know y'all got a... Everybody got a smartphone. Everybody got one, right? I mean, I don't know of anyone in my life that doesn't have a smart... Well, I take that back. I know a few flippers. Steve Hughes. You know who Steve Hughes is. Oh, animal guy. He still has a flip phone. Yeah, I talked to him this week. Steve's going to be on the show coming up in November. Going to talk wild animals. Not wild necessarily, but animals. That gets me sidetracked. Let me get back on target here. Everybody's got a smartphone, right? Have you noticed anything this week about phones getting squirrely? A lot of things have happened in the past 2 weeks on my cell since they put an update in it. I don't know about these updates, but see, here we go again. They got us locked in these things. These are a way of life, and they truly are. What do I enter on my pad to hear you? Ain't that something? I'll tell you in a minute. That's Uncle Red. but everybody's got one. Mm-hmm. Everybody. But yet, we don't necessarily have any control factors over these rascals anymore. You just shrug your shoulders, and that's what most people do. But the fact is, some squirrely things have happened this week, you know, and it seems to be happening more and more to where, and you're thinking right now, what are you talking about, Ray? What are you talking about? Well, I'm not sure. I'm just saying things have gotten squirrely on my phone. Texts haven't gone through. Information hasn't gone through. One night, my constituent's phone was literally turned off. He could he could not dial out. And the calls would not come in. And it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just am.
Well, no,
that's why I brought it up. I want to know if I'm the only guy, you know.
Well, I've had it for a long time, but I also think that it's also about the cell towers. There's not enough cell towers out there anymore, Ray. Think about it.
Infrastructure.
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's enough cell towers anymore, you know, per population. There's too much people. There's too much people, not enough cell towers. There isn't.
Well, maybe. I this 5G mess, though, and the transition to 5G, and nobody's talked about that much, and I'm not going to go there.
I don't really think they know what they're doing with 5G either.
Oh, they know.
Same thing with fiber. We've been talking about fiber for, what, the last 3 years, and I haven't heard anything about it. Mm-hmm. Have you?
Oh, yeah, I have it in my studio now.
Well, yeah. Yes, you do. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't hear a lot of people talking about fiber.
Well, I'm going to tell you. We have been diverted on that note. We have been focusing on fear. And most people, when I talk about that, they oh, no, here we go. No. These are things that are going on. You've been diverted. And it's all tactical. I've said that many times. You've been diverted. Your attentions, all of our attentions have been diverted due to fear. So, like 5G, you don't know anything about 5G. Why? You know why? They don't want you to know. And that's why you've been diverted. And it would do you all a favor that listening to me, if there ain't many, but few of you listening to me, if you did some research. Deep research on 5G, because it's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Oh, it's good for our phones and downloading and speeds and movies and videos and YouTubing and all this, but it isn't good for your health. It's not good for your health. Like, you need something more to be concerned about your health over. And yes, you do. And I'm just telling you, folks, I'm not here to be right. I don't even want to be right. I just want to be truthful and give you facts that I've done research on. 5G is detrimental to our existence. Check it out. But you didn't hear it lately, have you? Hadn't even heard it discussed except to sell you better phones. And to sell you more technology, right? Isn't that where you hear about 5G? I need 5G. It's wrong. Okay, that's enough about that. I want to throw that. But the phones, the data, and all the information, and folks, this is a tracking device. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, and you cut off all the apps and all that, and that might help. But it doesn't negate the phone. But anyway, I love them. I couldn't live without my phone. I could. Oh, I would. But as far as existing, coexisting with you guys, life as it is today, we and these people that can't put their phones down walking down the street, crazy. They're just addicted to phone, and we've become more of an addictive person, an addictive society between drugs, alcohol, and many other things. We're just crazy. Right. And another reason for it, you've been diverted. So, anyway, enough said about that. If you need to hear, and I said this the other day, this was funny. You'll enjoy this. Lady I did a job for this week, she said, Ray, how would I listen to you on Saturday mornings? I said, Alexa, play Fox Sports Charlotte. I didn't know the lady had it or not, but I thought I'd give it a shot. Guess what? She started playing Fox Sports Charlotte. That was funny. I never did that before, but I asked people, do you have Alexa? You know, and they'll say yes or no, but now I just say, Alexa, play Fox Sports Charlotte. And either it works or it don't, right? So, but it did. It's funny. But that's by far an easy way to hear us every Saturday morning. Or you can go online, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Or if you're inside Charlotte Metro, it's 94.7 FM on your radio dial. All right, I want to real quick tell you what I did last week. Not that you care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Class reunion, 50-year class reunion. I went last Saturday night to mine. I'm a graduate of Geringer High School, class of 1970. We couldn't have one last year. I don't need to tell you why. I'm sure you'll figure it out. But we had it just this past Saturday night. I guess 100 to 150 people showed up out of a class of the largest class of that year in the state of North Carolina, 628. Big class. Okay. Very touching, very moving. And the reason I bring this up, kind of wanted to share it. It was if you're a boomer, which you are if you got a 50th class reunion, you need to go. It really was a very special evening, and I thank my buddy Mike Talbot for calling me Friday and telling me to come, because if he hadn't have done that, I probably wouldn't have gone, but I'm glad I did, very glad I did. And when it was at the Speedway Club, believe it or not, never been to Speedway Club till last Saturday night. As long as I've been in this here city and been to races and events and all, never been to Speedway Club. I'm just not that highfalutin, I don't guess. At any rate, I went last Saturday night, and it was a great evening. I highly encourage and recommend that if you've got a class reunion and there's any way you can go, you need to, for your own well-being. And I know you're saying, well, I don't care. People are special. We're all special in our own way. And it was great to see all the classmates that were there. And I recognized so many of them and got to talk to so many people that, wow. And there were two women there. I swear they didn't look like they had aged 5 years. And that's hard to believe, and they're 70 years old. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Saw some very, very dear friends. And, wow. And I'll tell you what's amazing. Not amazing, it's sad, but it happens. I mean, we're getting old and we die. Is the one-page list of the people who haven't made it this far. They passed. Wow. Blew me away.
Only one page.
It was full. Oof. It was four columns. A lot of names.
Thanks.
628, remember. We're 70. Huh. But anyway. It was a great evening, and I enjoyed it. I really just had a great time. I can tell we're getting older, though. A lot of people in there I didn't recognize. A lot of people I did. Just couldn't remember their names. But I'd like to say once again, if you're a boomer and you get an opportunity to go, one, making it 50 years from graduation, that's a feat in itself this day and time. But I tell you what it did for me personally. It's very emotional. I woke up Sunday morning and I just had a tear or two. Very emotional because, one, I feel so much in gratitude and I'm so grateful for my health and well-being that I made it this far. And it's a great gift and even honor in some respects to do and be able to do what I do and live my life. And I'm totally grateful for it. Totally. But I do it real quick here because of my health. And I say all the time on this show how health is wealth. And I truly saw some people at that class reunion that weren't healthy. And it really, you know, it just states the fact that we need to really pay attention to our health. And folks, we don't. We don't. And, you know, the doctors, Western medicine, isn't controlling your health. You are. And you are responsible for your health. It's up to you to find out how to be healthier and do your research on that. Because if you go to the doctor, they're going to write your prescription. And chances are the prescription's not the best thing for you. I'm not saying it's not always. But you don't know it. You just take it for granted. The doctor knows best. How's that working for us? It ain't. Not totally. Not to say there's not some life-saving prescriptions and drugs out there. There is. There are no question. But they're few and far between relative to the situation. So anyway, health. I'm just grateful. I have mine. I encourage everyone to let's get healthier and we'll have a lot less sickness. And that's a fact. I got some guests calling in from Camelot Meadows. We're going to talk about that. They're calling because they're up in Gaston County and they want to be a part of the incentive of Put Tools in Schools. They've got some acreage up there and some things going on. I'll let them describe it to you. But they're due to call in here very shortly, and I talk about what they're doing up there. And I took some time, and I did visit them here a month or so ago, and they wanted to move some barns and all, wanted to use teenage kids from high school up there. But we'll see how it's going. All right, stay tuned. More about your house coming up. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff in the third hour today. I've got some ladies coming in, Rebuilding Charlotte, Rebuilding Together, and talk about women in construction and what they're doing, you know, around town here and how we could help possibly. So stay tuned for more about your house coming up. 704-227-8800 is the number. Love to hear from you. If you want to talk about anything, just be nice. I will. 704-227-8800. We'll be right back.
Baby, tonight belongs to us. Everything's right. Do what you must. And inch by inch we get closer and closer to every little part of each other.
Now we're going to put the test to Darren, our new board op here that's learning. See, part of the difficulties of running all the technology is learning how to operate it and push all the right buttons when we need to push them. We got two callers on the phone, Deborah Baxa And Mark, I can't say his last name. Sling. Anyway, he'll do that for me, and then I'll get it right. They're from. Go ahead and pull them up. All right, Mark, Deb. Good morning.
Hey, Ray.
Wow, it worked. Wow, it worked. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. Thanks for calling in this morning, Mark.
Well,
say your last.
Thank you for having us. Okay, we really appreciate it.
Oh, you got it, Deb. Mark, say your last name for me.
Shingen.
Singing?
Yep, just like singing in the rain, buddy.
Singing in the rain. Well, Mark, yep. Thank you for calling earlier this week and prior calls you've made. I really appreciate the support that you offer and encouragement, I might add. All right, I'm just going to open up the lines to Deborah to start with and find out about Camelot Meadows. What is Camelot Meadows, Deb?
Okay.
Give us some background and history to it.
Right. My husband died a few years ago of brain cancer, and we have this property, 33 acres in Belmont, and we did all the work on the property, and he loved it. And so I was looking for a way to share it with the community, so my first step was to build an event barn, and I'm doing some gratis things at the event barn. It's called Camelot Meadows. And the website is CamelotMeadowsEvent.com. And in conjunction with that, we have horses and goats and a lot of bamboo on the property. So we started a nonprofit called The Sanctuary at Camelot Meadows. And our focus is on youth education, free education. And we are focusing on, you know, respect for the animals and learning about the animals, learning about the bamboo, and bamboo is a source of food as well. And trying to partner with other nonprofits to give educational opportunities to youth. We've had the Boys and Girls Club of Gaston County out here. We want to work with autistic children. We want to just offer opportunities for educational experiences. And one of the things that we love that you're doing is the promotion of the trades. And so we're looking for opportunities also to have teaching opportunities regarding some of the trades on the property.
Right. And that's absolutely wonderful. And, folks, I've been to the property. And yes, it's absolutely beautiful. It's on Lake Wylie in Belmont. It's up to, isn't it 273?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right there after you turn right on 273 off South Fork. Is that right?
South Point and Armstrong Road is that
yeah.
mean.
I'm going from memory here.
Yeah.
I'm a homie, and I do remember that. I've been down that road a lot of times in my life. But I've been out on the property, and I'll tell you this. If nothing else, you need to go through the bamboo forest. It is it's phenomenal, just phenomenal. The energy you can feel and the change of it's just an environment all to itself in many, many different ways. And that's just one thing on the property and the animals, the goats. Yeah, let real quick, Deb, tell me how you got your goats.
Well, the goats were kind of rescue. It seems to come my way a lot. We were hiring goats. There was a company near Asheville that hired out goats for a few weeks at a time to eat the kudzu and the poison ivy. We didn't want to use any chemical-type products, so we thought it'd be best to have the goats. So we had the goats here a couple
rent
times.
A goat. Rent a goat.
Yeah, rent a goat.
Rent a
yeah,
goat.
Exactly.
There you go.
I've
heard of that.
The guy said he's going out of business. He's going to close the business, and I was like, well, I'll take the goats. So now we've got the full-time goats, too. We've got eight of them, and they're great with the kids, so we let the kids interact with them. Some of these kids have never had an opportunity to pet a goat or pet a horse or anything like that.
There you go. And it's great. And what all animals do you have on the property?
Well, we have the horses. We have the seven horses on the property. Most of them are rescues. We try to bring in as many rescues as we can. And then we just have the goats. And then we have a lot of creatures. We have tons of deer on the property.
Right,
we have
wildlife.
Possums. We have raccoons. You name it, they live here.
Got it. Well, that's 33 acres, did you say?
Yes.
That's awesome. Let me, on the note of, you know, your directives to, you know, capturing youth and doing things with them. And Mark, I know you've got, don't you have a background in construction?
Yes.
I know that y'all have done a great deal on the property, and it's just phenomenal. But have you gone to the high school less than 5 miles from you, right up on South Point there, yet?
South Point, as of this point, we have not. Now that the building has been constructed, now we have a basis, because we don't want really a lot of kids here when the construction's going on. We didn't feel it was a safe environment.
I understand.
You know, that type of thing. So now, that's why I reached out to you as well, Ray. It's like, okay, now we're at a point where we can start reaching out to these kids, because we want to put a chicken coop on the property. We've got an opportunity. We hope still to get an old blacksmith shop from Belmont and move it onto the property and create that back into a functioning blacksmith shop. So there are some things that we'd like to work with the high schools on,
right,
to bring kids that aren't going to go to college or that don't want to go to college, like you and I have talked before.
Sure.
You know, I mean, not everybody, and you've said this, those kids go in thinking and their parents want them to go to college, but shoot, they end up with those bills that are ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
When in the meantime, they could be learning a trade and something that they can actually put their hands on. So we'd like to approach these, some of the high schools, 4-H, anything like that, and let's build a chicken coop together. You know, let's learn how to use a tape measure. Let's learn how to use a circular saw safely, you know, on all the safety measures. You know, so those are the things that we'd like to approach, you know, and hopefully with your help and guidance, we can do that and get some kids on this property. You know, even some of the inner city kids, they don't have a way out, you know.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, so if we give them an opportunity, because they're not going to go to college, some of them, they don't want to go to college, you know, but let's give them an opportunity and show them a trade. Show them something they can put their hands on and see that instant gratification, which a lot of kids need right now, you know.
They've always needed it. We're the humankind as we are. We all basically require.
Yep.
Require for happiness and purpose working with your hands.
Well done.
You know, and with your mind. And once you establish that, and you can be an IT whiz bang, that's okay. You can use a computer like nobody's business, but still, you know, when the door falls off the hinges and when the tire goes flat, or you get my point, you can fix it, and
yep,
you're not lost. And we need to
correct
teach basic living skills, and those are
correct
all
and
about your hands.
One thing I wanted to point out too is also, you know, for both men and women, when I, you know, I was kind of raised as a tomboy, but when I first met my husband, we did all the work on the property. I put in a whole fence line all by myself. I know how to drive the tractor. I can fix a lot of things. Those are important things to know. And I don't feel that kids get that kind of opportunity these days. I mean, my nieces wouldn't have a clue on what to do with some of the tools I use.
Right. Oh, I get it. Believe me. Later today in the show, we've got a lady coming in 30 years old, and she's been working in the trades for 10 years, but she'll tell us more. But, you know, here we go again. Ladies out there, I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of opportunities for you. You know, and it's very rewarding, you know, very.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty passionate about this. I mean, like Mark said, we've been so focused on completing the building of the venue, and we actually have some kids, because of COVID, a lot of kids are doing classes online, so we have some kids helping us construct a few things up there, and it's definitely been a learning experience for them. And I think they've appreciated us taking them under their wing and teaching them things that otherwise they would not know how to do.
Awesome. I applaud you, and I will do everything I can to help you in, you know, in increasing your, let's just call it child traffic, you know,
right,
coming in there to, you know, to help. And, you know, there's something that you're offering that is not offered many places around this here big city, and that's animals. The animals, the goats,
mm-hmm,
the knowledge of the horses and, you know, all that's a terrific thing in itself. And, you know, I call it infrastructure, but when you have animals, it goes way beyond the animals in, mm-hmm. in you know, in a learning environment. So, but bring me up to date on the barn. Where are you at with it?
Well, we're just about done. We had our first wedding on September 11th. And I had told the bride, well, all the sod may not be in, but she's like, I want to have my wedding there. She was marrying a police officer, and September 11th had special significance to them. So we had a lot of police officers here. And now we have our next wedding coming up October 16th. So we're just about there, and it's beautiful. We've got a lot of good feedback. As I said, I also want to use our event barn, you know, for gratis opportunities for events for these kids.
Right.
So
the event barn on the website that I'm looking at?
Yes, sir. Yep.
That is yours?
Yep, that's
okay,
ours.
Cool. I just want to be sure.
It should be updated, yep.
Right, it's great. It is updated. And that's it. And folks, I've been out there. I did not see the finished product yet. I saw
it. You got to come back.
You know, I was down there 2 weeks ago, guys. I was about less than a mile from you. And I said, you know, I need to get back by there, and I will. Believe me, I'm going to visit, you know, but I'm not, I probably won't call before I come. But
that's okay. Just pop in.
That's okay.
Because I know the back way in and the other way in, so no problem there. But here's what I want to advocate, Mark. I would communicate with that high school right up the street from you guys, and you know where I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. South Point High.
Yeah, South Point High. I would start there. Folks, this is in Gaston County. It's not Mecklenburg, and obviously it's Gaston. Okay, it's mm-hmm. right next door to us. And not only do they have the land, but they've got Lake Wylie as well. Mm-hmm. So fishing, you know, and they're near the hot mm-hmm. hole, if you know what the hot hole is.
Best fishing on the lake.
It's an Allen steam plant. It's the exit into mm-hmm. Lake Wylie there. So, you know, if you would reach out to that high school and start there, it will help you in so many ways. Just environmentally, it'll help you, okay? Mm-hmm. It'll help position, and you'll know how to bob and weave your way through it. Because I have not been in Gaston County with any high schools yet. I did get a post yesterday. There's up in Iredell County, there's a teacher up there teaching his sixth graders framing.
Wow.
And he sent me some pictures.
Wow, well done.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's a lot. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of effort being put forth by teachers and educators everywhere now on this topic of the trades. They realize, too, but it's happening. There is a transition, and I've got to share this. Someone reached out to me this week and said, Ray, you're making a big difference. And I said, well, thank you. I don't know that I'm making any difference, although I know I'm going to keep talking, I'm going to keep pushing, and all it is an awareness. But if we become more aware and make these kids aware, that's the whole goal right there. And y'all have such a tremendous facility, well, land up there, an opportunity. And once again, folks, it's Camelot Meadows. It's CamelotMeadowsEvent.com. Mm-hmm. Now, I know your call is based around Put Tools in Schools, but we got to do a little plug on what you're doing with the barn, the event venue, that sort of thing. What is Camelot Meadows to people that may want to use your facility?
Well, we host pretty much any type of event. I've got a baby shower coming up. We've got a lot of weddings booked. We have some vow renewals. We're having some kids come and perform some gymnastics for their parents. We just have a large, large open facility, and it's beautiful, and all the surrounding land. We're partnering with doing some fundraisers. There's one I'm very impressed with. They provide wheelchair accessible vans to families that need them. So we're having a music festival to raise funds. So we're multifaceted, you know, and then we want to, as I mentioned, do some things for the community, and We talked about having Sunday fun days for families. So we're constantly morphing.
I see. You're going with whatever comes your way and figuring it out.
Exactly. We want to, our motto is all are welcome. So right. We want to make this work for everyone.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. Well, I've been out of touch. I don't know. I was out there, 4 months ago or so? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and I want to get back out and see. But, as we get into this, because honestly, I have kind of sat on my laurels for about a year and a half because I didn't know which way to turn, as most of us didn't. But now I feel like we've got some momentum to get the word back out and get kids working with their hands and learning.
Exactly.
And so, first of all, Mark, reach out to the high school. And 100%. There's also a middle school. I would go there as well. Matter of fact, to everyone, middle schools are really the target, because if you can capture a 6th and 7th grade's mind at that age, it's phenomenal. And this is not from me talking. It's from Harvard studies, okay? Just to give it a little validation, that 6th and 7th graders, if you can just reach those kids there, and you're so close to those two schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would help start the process. So,
we've also got Cramerton, which is close. So we can reach out to them as well. I mean, the more the merrier.
Oh, absolutely. But once you get involved with one or two schools, actually they'll help you spread the word. Mm-hmm. You got a networking marketing when you get something that is a winner, so to speak. The word gets out pretty quickly, and you've got such an amazing ability up there building a chicken coop, getting, the blacksmith shop hopefully moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully. Yep.
It's crazy, and y'all had the barn, but builders don't like to move things, do they?
No, they'd rather tear them down.
Yeah.
No matter what the historical significance is, we're finding out, right? Mm-hmm. They'll rather tear it down. It's more cost-effective and tiny.
Right. Well, let's talk real quick about the bamboo forest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we say bamboo forest, a lot of people have no idea what that is. And just give me a little bit of what your vision of it is and what you've heard from people who – I mean, you've had weddings – there, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, the bamboo forest is amazing. I've had, people come and say, I've lived in Gaston County all my life. I never knew this was here. It's about 3 acres of bamboo, and we've cleared a path through it, and we've cleared an area also in there for weddings, and you sat in there. You can just sit in there and read a book. It's so peaceful.
Oh, it's wild, and hear the wind.
Yeah, and then we also, as part of the nonprofit, the new bamboo shoots are food. Bamboo is very high in nutrition, so when the shoots come up about 2 feet tall, we donate them, and we're plugged in with the Bhutanese community in Charlotte, and they harvest it, and they make it into food. So we donated about 500 pounds of the shoots, and it fed 150 people.
Wow.
So people think bamboo is, an invasive type species, but bamboo is also a good thing in that it provides nutritious food for people.
Bamboo and cannabis and many others through the years, and I can go on, but I'm going to leave it at that, are very, very beneficial to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And bamboo is an amazing, absolutely amazing plant, and it's phenomenal. The energy, the benefits from it, bamboo flooring, as you well know, very durable product, unbelievable. Bamboo is an incredible, and there again, folks, you got how many acres again, 3?
Yeah, 3 acres of bamboo, and so.
And getting larger.
Yeah, if anybody wants some
hopefully
bamboo,
not.
We've got plenty.
Bamboo's very invasive. Man, I'll tell you, it is absolutely incredibly invasive.
Yes, it is.
But it's also a very beautiful thing. And, folks, I'm so glad y'all came on today.
Again, thank you for having us. We're thrilled with what you're doing.
You.
And we want to plug in and get, you know, connected with the youth like you are doing, and we admire, you know, the journey you're making.
Well, I'm just a mouthpiece at this point, but I appreciate that. And just to raise awareness, and you guys are doing it as well. And it is contagious, because we all realize the importance of working with your hands, having purpose. And once you have that, you're happier. I worked with a gentleman I hadn't worked with in 11 years yesterday. I'm going to share this real quick. At the end of the day, he said, "Wow, this was a great day." I said, "Really?" He said, "Man, we've done so many things." And I said, "But we're capable of doing those things, aren't we?" He said, "Yeah, and it's a lot of fun." Wow. You know, and it was a good day. I mean, we put in something very difficult, but with my experience and his abilities, we did it. And it's very gratifying. And he really, you know, that's just to me, a great feeling to see someone enjoy their day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take a break, put you guys on hold. We'll come back and wrap it up. Can we do that?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Yep. Folks, okay. We'll be back. We've got Mark and Deb from Camelot Meadows on the phone talking up in Gaston County, right near Lake Wylie. And we'll be back to talk more after this. Song. I was looking at the interior of the barn. I could imagine a big old party in there. I really could. Deb, Mark, you back with me? Where's my callers, guys? Hold on. Where's my callers? Yeah. Hey, now you with me, girls and boys?
Yep.
We're here.
There you go. You know, you heard that song, you know, that I don't know if y'all could hear it or not on hold.
But, oh, yeah.
But I was looking at y'all's interior photo on your website, and I can imagine a big party in that room. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And
party,
I'm going
to. Chili cook-off, Super Bowl party.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna read a caption on your website, because I want people to get an idea of what we're talking about here. Okay. Not just the fact that y'all want to help with kids. I love that barn. Okay. And folks, if you don't know what I'm speaking about, all the venue rentals include exclusive access to the 7,560-square-foot ADA-compliant venue and the surrounding grounds, exclusive access to our magical bamboo forest, private lakeside dock access, parking for up to 150 cars, buses, and shuttles. Inside the 100% climate-controlled indoor venue, we offer wheelchair-accessible restrooms, a caterer's prep kitchen with a 500-pound capacity ice machine, two large private suites, multiple bar location options, and multiple memorable photo op locations. 26-foot round tables and 200 white padded folding chairs are also included. Wow. So, folks, if you're looking for a place to really have a nice, a great event, Camelot Meadows. So, wow. It's very nice. I love it.
Thank you.
You can go to the CamelotMeadowsEvent.com. And really, that I think that would be the best way to get up with you guys, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a contact, and I personally answer every email. And this is a very personal. It's not just a business. This is a very personal venture for me.
Well, and I felt that when I spoke with you, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And you know, you're a passionate person, and that's another thing. I love passion. You and Mark both are really you've embraced the whole concept, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal what you're doing out there at Camelot Meadows. And anyone out there listening that's in teaching or teaching a teacher or in education in Gaston County, you can reach out to Mark and Deb also on the Put Tools in Schools or Helping Kids in the Trades or with their events and their direction, you might say. Give them a helping hand and let them help you. And you can reach out to them on Camelot Meadows Event. .com. It's not events, not plural, it's one T. CamelotMeadowsEvent.com and reach out to them. Let them know that you want to help them help you because it's a teamwork effort, folks. It's a we thing. Got to do it together.
Yeah, nobody can do this alone, Ray. Absolutely. We got to do it together.
Takes a village. Yep.
It does.
Well, I appreciate both of you. I really do. And thank you. Well,
thank you, Ray.
Oh,
we appreciate your support and your encouragement, and you got to come back out and visit us.
Oh, I will. I will. No doubt.
All right.
And the most of the events are on Saturday and Sunday, are they not?
Yeah, we have quite a few events Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, but we're trying to also open up opportunities during the week for, you know, pretty much anything.
Great.
Yeah.
You are flexible. All right.
Very.
Sounds good. I appreciate you so much. Thank you both.
Right. Thank you, Ray.
See you
have
soon,
a great
Ray.
Day.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And they're out. And just here's another example of community reaching out. And we collectively as a community, and just because I'm in Mecklenburg County, we've got counties all around us. And my new buzzword is Charlotte Metro. 75 miles radius, Charlotte Metro. That's kind of what we're in the service industry. That's kind of what we look at because I go all over that 75 mile radius area or really up to 80. You know, I love going outside into other communities around this town because there's so many wonderful, beautiful people doing a lot of things and we need to communicate these things more. You know, in this time of technology, we're inundated with information. How do you pick and choose and know really what's going on anymore? I mean, it's like there's so many. It's like podcasts now. You can, goodness gracious, a bazillion of them. And, I mean, there's a bazillion. And how do you know how do you know anymore, you know? It's really crazy. But hopefully we're reaching a lot of people and or some people, enough people to make a difference to kids and lives. And, you know, once again, before we close out the top of this hour, there's another problem on our hands right now, folks, and we're collectively involved. We've got a lot of people leaving their jobs, a lot of people leaving their jobs. Where are these people going to work? Some of these people got their education, invested a lot of money in what they're doing because they're passionate about it, but yet they've got to leave their job because they don't believe in sticking something in their body that's being told you have to, and they're just not going to do it, and I get it. I really get it. And let me say this. Those people need opportunities. Well, trades, industry, it's your time for opportunity. And step up and make it aware, make yourself aware or make yourself known, better yet, to these opportunities that exist out in our community. And I'm real grateful to see a lot of businesses, even franchises, stepping up and starting to pay people some money. That's a good thing. Saw something on, I think it was social media or some news outlet, where McDonald's is paying $18 an hour. Wow, it's about damn time. Now, if we can get the big box stores to do the same thing, it'd help a lot. Box stores, orange, blue, you get it? Sorry, but it's necessary, because people in my industry need jobs that pay something, and there's value to the knowledge that you share, but you can't make a living for 10 to 15 bucks an hour. Cannot do it.
Yeah, not just the box stores, also those big grocery stores. You know, the one with the blue and the yellow. I'm not going to say the name.
You're exactly right. You know, you're exactly right. And can't. But we've got to start paying these people. You know, if all the service people took a day, no, took a week off, just took a week off, all the people in service took a week off.
Chaos.
Total chaos. Total. Couldn't get squat done. I'm going to tell you. So you need to be grateful they all exist. And you know, a caveat to this, stupid has become a serious illness. And we need to do better in teaching. So we're at a point where we need to change the tide. Get it going the other way. And, you know, I preach all the time about it, I know, and y'all are probably sick of hearing it, but I don't really care, because something's got to be done. All right. Charlotte CBD has changed their name to Crown Town Cannabis, okay? Now, the new unveiling of the Central Avenue store, 2419, is, I think, the 18th of October, and it's going to go to Crown Town Charlotte. You have Crown Town Concord, and now we have Crown Town Columbia, and now it'll be Crown Town Charlotte. They're changing their name. And wherever you see this in other cities, could be franchise. They're selling franchises now. Very successful group of guys and gal. Guys and gal. Three of them. Dan, Lindsay, Mike, Sims. They're not all Sims. They're various Lindsay Adams and Dan Hinsky. They really care about people and their well-being and their health, and they're doing something about it their way. So, the health benefits to CBD are phenomenal, and the more I hear, the more I see, the more research I do, it's absolutely incredible. Does wonders for me, my wrist and my ankles. So, just want to throw that out there. 2419 Central Avenue here in town. If you're just interested and want to learn more, you got a building full of teachers over there. They'll tell you all about it, and they'll give you any facts, any direction you need to substantiate it. So there you go. Want to throw that out there. All right, next hour, let's talk about some stuff. Let's talk about, I got to talk a little bit about gutters and fascia. Water issues, landscape. Look, it's autumn. We're moving into the cold winter months, colder months. Hopefully we have some winter this year. But let's talk about it. We're going to take a break here. You want to give me a call, I'd love to hear from you. Give me something to talk about. 704-227-8800. We're here to help. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Nothing like a little breakfast to get you going in the morning. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. Of course, breakfast is always better when you can enjoy it with About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as before the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Welcome back to hour number two of About Your House here on Fox Sports Charlotte. About, you know, when COVID hit and everybody was locked down and it just started one thing rolling. We talked about lumber prices going skyrocketing. Now, where are lumber prices today? Well, they've come down, you might say substantially, not to where they were, of course, but they definitely have taken a turn for the better. But still, if you're looking to remodel your house and want to do it somewhat on a budget, well, I'd wait. You might want to wait till maybe come spring, because lumber prices have come down and things are a bit more stable, but yet there's a lot of materials out there you still can't readily get. Like high-end, and Roddy Player hit on this from Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliances, hit on this last week. The higher-end products are the harder to get, okay? I'm not saying you can't get them, but they're harder to get. So just planning, and like I said, I would really wait. If you're looking to do some remodeling to your home, major remodeling especially, I would wait and start your planning. You know, plan. I can't emphasize the importance of a plan. Planning is so important. And another thing that I'm noticing, when you're planning a job, it wouldn't hurt to find someone in the industry to give you a helping hand on the mental side, detail side. Let me give you an example. This isn't a big job, but it's a job. Lady called me, wanted a vent hood put up, range hood. Pretty decorative, chimney-style exposed range hood on a wall where some cabinets exist. That's good, no problem. She wanted me to do that. Okay, well, she calls me, Ray, I want to know if you can install a range hood. Oh, sure, absolutely. But there's no electrical out there, there's no electrical in that wall, and then she wants to ceramic tile that wall, and then she wants to duct it out the side of the house. What, you know, all those things. Is it possible? Can it happen? See, some people want things that sometimes you can't do, and I'm a pretty big advocate on we can do anything kind of attitude, you know, and you can do it anyway, but you sometimes it's just far beyond the realm of practical, how's that, and cost. But my point about this is there wasn't any electrical. She wanted ceramic tile. And now to her, it was just a simple thing of me coming up there and putting the hood up and saying, hey, it's up. Now call my tile guy and let him tile the wall. Well, see, you don't want to do that. You want to tile the wall completely first, all the way. Now, before you tile that wall, you've got to make sure there's something in that wall to anchor the hood to. Hold it. We're going to ceramic tile the wall. Will the ceramic tile hold the hood? It sure will, if it's done correctly. However, these are things you need to know. Okay. But see, I didn't know she was going to ceramic tile the wall until she asked me a question. Do you know any tile guys that could put tile on my wall? Well, I know some, but they're all busy, and they're not going to travel to Denver, North Carolina. Probably, maybe, doubt it. Anyway, so I said, wait a minute, let's back up and punt on this job here. What are you doing? I'm putting new countertops on. Oh, I'm going to put new counters. I'm going to ceramic tile the wall. Well, I got it. There's got to be electric in that wall to power that vent hood. Oh, that's right. See where I'm going here? I said, here's what's got to happen. One, I got to come up there, make sure, one, we can get the duct through the ducting out of the up through the ceiling and through whatever you've got in your attic. I'm not sure if it's clear or not. See, if there's a rafter there in our way, a roof joist, you might say, a rafter, ceiling joist, excuse me. You know, well, you can't cut just any ceiling joist. You can't just cut it and run a pipe through it. You've got to alter the structural loads on that joist, okay? So that must be done. But luckily, she's got just enough room to get it through there and up into the attic and out. Okay, number one. Two, where's the power coming from? Actually, vent hoods, some need a dedicated circuit. Not all necessarily because of the amp load. But regardless, there's got to be power to feed that vent hood. They're in the wire there now. Well, where are we going to get it from? Well, that, like I said, you need help sometimes. So I went up there, and I found power resourced it on a 20-amp appliance circuit receptacles that would be adequate to, you know, do it without going all the way home run all the way back to the panel, which would be very costly. So got that nailed down. Now, get the ceramic tile and the countertops done, and I'm the last puppy there. But that wire has got to come either through the chimney area. It's got to be hidden, in other words. But it can come down from the attic, so no problem. And I explain all this to you folks as a story that's only one facet of a complete kitchen remodel. That's why professionals make the money they make in this business that's overwhelmed with details. Kitchens are full of details, and it's the details that stress you and cause the job issues and problems. So, back to planning. You can't plan what you don't know. And now I know you've got YouTube. I know you've got the internet. And those are great, great resources. But don't be surprised. Meaning, be sure what you want is going to work before you get into the project. Now, back to planning. Once again, and I've said this many times, and there's a reason I say this, and I'm going to tell you another little story that happened. Unfortunately, I'm going to share this story, but it happens a great deal in these days we live. I was to install a vent system and a cooktop in a house right here in Charlotte. And the lady called me, and she said, they're going to deliver the appliances Monday, gave me the date. Can you install them Tuesday? I said, no. She says, why? I said, because they're not there. Well, they've assured me they'll come. Oh, like that means they're going to be there? No. I don't deal in ifs or maybes. I want to know the appliances are there on site before I even come out, especially this day and time on delivery. You're telling me it's going to be there on Monday, and you want me there on Tuesday? I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. Now, could I? Sure. But guess what? They didn't show up on Monday. They weren't there. So my point is, understand when people say, I can't do it because I want them there, because you don't know if it's going to happen. It's happened 3 times to me in the past 2 weeks where people say something's going to happen and it didn't happen. Now, if I base my schedule on a maybe, who suffers from all that? I do. I'm smarter than that these days. And you know what? You can't please everybody. I give it my all. But planning, having things on site, and if you're going to remodel your house, kitchen, great room, bathroom, bedroom, whatever you might be doing, the materials can't be installed unless they're on the site. And if you've scheduled someone to install them and they're not there and he shows up, you're messing with his time. And chances are you're not going to pay him for it because he ain't going to do nothing but show up. It's called respect. So let's, on both sides, practice it. And to all you service professionals out there, when you go to a house, leave it cleaner than when you found it. Makes them a lot happier. It's amazing. So anyway, back to the planning. And on the lumber price issue, if you're doing a remodeling, a room addition, or major remodeling project, I don't think it'll hurt you a bit to wait to spring because the prices will come down a little bit more. I really do. Now, there are prices out there that probably won't come down, and that's the technology side of things because of chips and all the problems they're having with computers, actually. All the, you know, trucks, cars, you can't get them. Have you heard about the car thing, man? You can't get cars, can't get trucks. They the used car values have skyrocketed. It's incredible. Wait, some crazy stuff, man. Made me think twice about getting a new something. Or fixing my old. I'm a fix-it kind of guy. I believe in buying a car, paying it off, keeping that car running good, just like my old body here, you know. Take care of a little TLC. But you know what? We take those automobiles for granted. We truly, truly do. And wake up one morning, go out there, try to crank, it won't crank. Or you're driving down the road and all these lights start blinking and carrying on your dash and sucker just cuts off. Happened to me twice. Computers, something wrong. Well, don't take it for granted. Take care of it. We got a sponsor, Compton's Automotive. Todd Compton's and Ken and all the guys out there do a great job. But here we go back to trades. Why not learn how to fix cars yourself? With YouTube, see, my van needs struts. You know what struts are? They're basically front shock absorber spring assemblies that they wear out. Well, over 100 miles, time changes struts. You thought about that? Well, if you're running down the road and hit the brakes and your front tires start wobbling on you, probably struts. And what am I looking for the word? Control arm issues, control arm bushings. Anyway, I'm on what?
Well, I was going to also say, you know, like the things that hold up your trunk and hold up your...
Those hydraulic things.
Those things go bad.
Oh, they wear out. Yep. Yeah. I've got my
Everyone
hook.
Should know how to change one.
And they're simple to change.
Yep.
They're simple. Windshield wipers, for example. You know how to change windshield wipers?
Yes.
Well, you know, these things are things you need to know how to do. They're not hard. And, you know, YouTube, like I said, amazing. Well, I need new struts, so I went online, you know, and looked up strut replacement, put the year model making my car, and sure enough, pops up about 5 or 6 videos, and I watch them. And see, that's what you can do, you know, and I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I looked at the video, watched it a few times, said, man, that ain't nothing to it. I can do that.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, like, about changing stuff in your car, because I used to have a car where I could actually change the headlights.
Sure.
I mean, it's pretty easy. You just put a new bulb in it, you know, click it back in, right?
Now it's assemblies.
Yeah, now you have to actually, like, take the grill off, and, like, certain cars you have to do a bunch of stuff to get to a...
Well, hey, look, the struts, I have to take the shroud over my windshield wiper. You know, that little grill that goes across before your hood, I got to take that whole thing off to access the bolts to take the struts out. But there again, YouTube. Thank you, YouTube. Yep. Of course, I looked, too. I went out there, and I'm a pretty mechanically minded guy, so I go out there and look at everything and kind of figure it out and, you know, brainstorm, you know?
Yep.
And there again, if you're going to tackle any project, regardless of who or what, who you are or what you're tackling, it pays you to go up and look at it in depth, figure it out in your mind. It's called thinking, processing. You know, you look at something, you think it through, and you process it. And then you may want to sit on it a day or two. Don't decide one morning, just wake up and say, I'm going to go out and change my struts or whatever it might be. Or windshield wipers, something simple. You say simple. You mean windshield wipers are simple to change? Yeah, once you know how. Then you say, oh, man, that was easy. Got to do it one time. Just like everything, folks, it's called doing it. That's education. We're going to take a break. Could you tell? Music did give way. 704-227-8800 is the number. You're listening to About Your House. Next hour, we got Beth Morrison and Abby Ring coming in, rebuilding together, Charlotte, and we'll talk to them. Let's talk about, I'm going to tell you another little story. I'm full of stories today, aren't I? About gutters and fascia. And these are things that can be very costly, very expensive. So we'll talk about that when we get back. And I'm getting
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving my excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me
all right, welcome back. I got a call from one of my listeners. Says, Ray, I got some soffit damage in my nice house, it doesn't matter where it's at. So I said, okay, can you take me a picture? I'm big into pictures nowadays because sometimes pictures are everything. I mean, they can show me everything. I gave you a great example of that real quick. Another little story here. Lady calls me in Gastonia. Well, you know, Gastonia is down the road a piece. What's the date? Second?
Yes.
Second, yeah. Remind me of something. Excuse me, folks. I'm sorry. My brain just had a... So she called me. She says, Ray, I would like to know what kind of cooktop I can put in my house. I says, is that all you're doing? Well, we're considering doing a new vent system. I says, well, what's wrong with the vent system? She says, well, nothing. I says, so it works. She said, yeah, but, you know, I said, well, if my motto is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I said, because you can go ahead and get your cooktop now, fit it in there, whatever's required. And sometimes on cooktops, you have to cut granite, as I did yesterday, to make the cooktop fit, which ain't no big deal. You just do it. But she sent me pictures, three pictures, and it showed me everything I need. And I didn't have to go to Gastonia to give her her answer. I said, you can buy any cooktop you want that's compliant with a downdraft vent system, a telescoping downdraft vent system. And later on down the line, if you want a new vent system, fine, just remove the cooktop, put your vent system in, put the cooktop back in. They pretty much all fit the same. They do. And, I mean, it ain't like I ain't done them before. So, anyway, the point is, save me a lot of time. Well, another listener calls me and asks me to come up, take a look at his soffit. Needs to be repaired. Can I do it? No, I'm not going to do it. But I want to look at it, make sure what it is. Because it might be more than just a soffit problem. Matter of fact, I knew it was. But I wasn't going to go into all that before I saw the actual situation. So I said, take a picture and send it to me. Well, he never did. That's okay, though. I was out in his neck of the woods one day, shortly thereafter, so I stopped by to take a look. He's got, sure enough, big old hole in the soffit right at a corner, outside corner of the house. And I said, well, you can't just fix the soffit. You've got to fix the problem that caused you've got to fix the resource, the source of the problem, which is no different from crawl space water invasion. Okay, no difference at all, because there's water getting into that area. Otherwise, why would it rot? So the problem really is the roof or the gutters. And the gutters were helmet-type gutter protection system, which I am not real fond of totally, because they're not maintenance-free. They do need cleaning out, and they do need service from time to time. And yes, they do. And Danny Allen, I called Danny, ABS Insulation. They've got a gutter division. I said, Danny, gave him the address. Send you got call this gentleman. He owns the house. And tell him what needs you need to come up there and take a look at the gutters. He did. And Danny calls me back and says, Ray, you got a roofing problem as well as the gutters out there. But see, here's the point. Here we go again. Gentleman calls me, wants his soffit fixed. When soffit's not the issue first, we've got to fix the source of the problem. Once we because if you go in there and replace the soffit, one, you can't replace soffit. You need to replace the fascia board as well. Now, I bring this up because here we are in autumn. Leaves are going to fall. Leaves have weight. And those weight, if your gutters aren't taken care of, gutters are to control water. And if you've got gutters on your house and they're clogged up, well, and if you got a tree growing out of your gutter, I think it's an indicator that you need to clean them out. What do you think? I believe so. So, you know, so my point is, if you don't take care of your gutters and get them fixed, repaired, and draining properly, you're going to have other issues like this gentleman. And that, but if you've got a two-story house, there again, they're out of sight, out of mind. And you don't think about them. They're out of sight, out of mind. So every now and again, if you own a house, about every 5 to 10 years, you may want to call a gutter company to come out and take a look and do a little TLC and inspection, as occurred with this situation. Well, Danny calls me and say, Ray, we got to get a roofer to look at the roof situation up there on that corner. So what did I do? I called my buddy Roger Freeman. Actually, I didn't call him. I talked to him. We were having a brew together the other day, and I said, I got something for you. So we started talking. And now I give him the address. He's going to go up here and take a look. Point to the story is, it isn't always what it appears to be. And if you call a company out there and they want to get your money, they'll fix it. You'll pay, but you're going to do it again because you didn't fix the source of the problem. Just like crawl space encapsulation, yes, they can work and be very effective. But you need to fix the water intrusion before you encapsulate the crawl space. And believe me, there are companies out there encapsulating crawl spaces that don't even deal with the water issues around the house, on the exterior of the house. We live in a crazy time where stupid has become, greed, really. Greed, too. They come out, they want your money. Hey, look, I love getting paid for what I do as well. You know, it's, but, you know, you're going to do the right thing, hopefully. That's what we all want, ultimately, is just do the right thing. So, gutters and fascia. Now, if you got bad gutters and they're falling off your house, more than likely you got bad fascia board. Fascia board is the vertical, typically 1x6. And by the way, that's 5.5 by 3/4 inches. The 1x6 fascia board is behind the gutters and typically what the gutter hangs to. But actually, gutters should hang from the rafter ends, tails. The structural members coming down. That's what you should anchor the gutters into. But they can be anchored and screwed to fascia board as well. And if the fascia's not on the house well, it'll pull the fascia off the house. Seen it happen many times. And I, like I said, once again, I bring it up because leaves are going to be falling here in about a month. And when leaves fall, it adds weight to your gutters. And then you got issues if you haven't taken care of. So that's why I wanted to hit on the gutter situations. Okay? Excuse me. And along with that, as you walk around your house, as you walk around that house, I want you to look at the ground. And I'm going to give you another little story that happened to me this week. I go out to a house, and their ventilation system doesn't work, and hasn't worked for probably 10, 15 years. I said, wonder what the problem is here. So I went out and looked at it. Half of it was underground. They had an exterior blower, and half of it was underground. Well, now, that means rain and water could just go right in it, and it did, and it didn't work. It killed the motor, so to speak. Motor isn't going to work underground. How could that happen? You know, this another one of these things kind of out of sight, out of mind. Well, we went and repaired that, but here's the issue. Water was invading that house because of the grade. And this house was 40, almost 50 years old. So my point to this is, as you walk around your house, an older home, you want to be sure the water is flowing away from the house, not to the house. Sometimes it requires you putting your feet, you know, your body weight up against the house. And if you can see the ground slope come to the house, that's a problem. And over time, it's going to be a bigger problem and bigger problem. So I advise you to check out your water drainage situation as we enter the fall and winter months. Okay? That's all. Just a reminder. And once again, crawl space. It wouldn't hurt to have your crawl space inspected. Now you say, who does that? Well, exterminators, pest control people. We got two that are part of the family here, and that's Killo Exterminating, which has been in the business since 1952. Well, now we're on three generations in that company, family-owned business. Been around a long time, does great work, great customer service, but they only do one thing, pest control. That's what they do. They don't do crawl space, encapsulation, foundation repair. They do pest control. That's all they do. Now we have Les Grattan. Grattan Pest Solutions, I think it is. Grattan. Yeah. Les Grattan and family. Another family-owned business who I advocate a lot because they do great things with people. I say great things. Yes, they do pest control, but they give you service, personal service. And another thing I want to recommend to you, talking about taking pictures, you know, if you've got insects and you don't know what they are, you can take a close-up picture of them and send them to a good exterminating company, pest control company, and they can identify that and give you some advice before they ever come out, possibly. And another thing, you can also, like if you have ants, well, Les Grattan taught me this, you don't know what to do with the critter until you know what the critter is. So you need to identify. It kind of goes across the board in the home industry or service industry until you identify the culprit or the source of the problem. You can't really do much about it effectively until you know the whole story. So there you go. And take the and put whatever insect, if you want to, in a bag, in a baggie. Save it. And then the pest control company or person, I'm looking for the word, God, what's wrong with my brain today? There's a word for bug people. I'll figure it out. Insect specialist. I can't think of the word. Text me the word, 704-712-4644. Now, I'm just throwing my cell phone out there. Anybody want to help me out here? Bugs. If you want to identify, save them. And if you don't want to kill it, well, good luck. I understand it. But you can put them in a baggie and let the bug person, insect person, entomologist. Entomologist. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you so much, entomologist. Appreciate it. Which, you know, there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
You're like, love bugs.
Never heard that word before.
You never heard entomologist?
No.
Really? That's amazing. Entomology. Dr. Ralph Killo introduced me to entomology because he goes way back when I was on another station. He'd been a guest of mine many times. And I'll tell you something. There's a good man right there in this community. He's helped a lot of people establish a career in pest control and entomology. He's been a great influencer, and he's a good man. He's still with us. And I just wanted to do a shout-out. Great man, Dr. Ralph Killo of Killo Exterminating. Now, he doesn't work there anymore. He's basically retired. He shows up, but he's retired. But I really appreciate what you've done for me and teach me throughout my career, because if you're in construction, you need to know about wood-destroying insects. And if you don't know about wood-destroying insects, you should. And I'll tell you, one of the most scary days of my life, I'm going to tell another little story here. I was under a house. I can't remember what I was doing under there, but because I've done all kinds of things under houses. And I was going, you know, and a bug fell, a black ant fell on me, okay? And I got a flashlight, and I looked down, and there's a big old ant. It's a carpenter ant. You know, I could tell it was a carpenter ant. Had a little tool pouch on. You know, you can always tell carpenter ants. They got a little tool pouch.
It's like the bees.
Yeah. Carpenter bees, they got them too. No, I'm kidding, folks. They don't have tool pouches. But anyway, this big black ant fell on me. So I reached up like an idiot, truly, and grabbed the insulation and pulled it down. Oh, Lord, that was a mistake. Ants started hitting. It was raining ants all over me. And I was going berserk because, I mean, you ever had ants fall on you just in multitude?
Yeah.
Ants, man, that was scary. But I, needless to say, I pushed that insulation back up, got out of there, and brushed myself off all them ants. They didn't bite me or nothing, but they were carpenter ants. Carpenter ants eat wood. Eat wood, and they can do a great job. You know, well, how you know you don't have carpenter ants? You don't until somebody inspects. And, you know, now eventually you will see manifestation of the problems. Like termites. Termites do the same thing. They eat wood, obviously. But they won't eat it unless there's moisture present.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask. Like, no, you know.
When you have termites, you typically always have a moisture issue.
Okay.
Because remember, insects must have water.
So you can tell the difference between if you have termites or carpenter ants without seeing them yet, right? Because if you have moisture issues, you're going to...
Sometimes, you right? know, carpenter ants do a different kind of damage than okay. termites. They don't operate in the same way. Mm-hmm. Termites, they can destroy... I've seen a whole wall of a house over in Myers Park. My brother called me one day years ago, said, Ray, you got to get over here. I got to show you this. I got to show you this house. He said, you won't believe what the termites have done in this house. The whole wall was gone. The structure, the two-by-fours were basically all eaten. And the house was still standing. It was amazing. But they did the repairs and got rid of the termites, but I had never seen termites infest, you know, damage to that degree. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that's seen it worse, but man, this was something else. I tell you, it was. But anyway, termites, insects, crawl spaces. Hey, if you own a house, you need to have your crawl space inspected at least once every year or two. But don't go longer than that, because there's other issues that someone could find, such as fallen ductwork. I've been under many houses where there's ducts that came off the main plenum and it's just blowing hot or cold under the house and you're not even aware of it. You're spending money on energy you don't need to spend, and it's just something that needs to be dealt with. And a lot of people don't know. Another thing, in the summertime, there's sump pumps, there's condensation pumps that get rid of the condensation under your house. Are they working effectively? You know, I bring all these things up because out of sight, out of mind, you just take it for granted. And folks, I realize too, your income, money, it costs. Things cost money, and you got to be able to afford it to get it done. And I get that. Believe me, I do. So, anyway. All right. We're talking about crawl spaces here. I want to talk about hardwood flooring, because it seems like lately I've gotten some calls on squeaky floors, separating floors, and, you know, various floor issues. I've been in thousands of houses, thousands over the years. I've personally installed a lot of hardwood floors through the years, various species as well as widths and dimensions. And hardwood floors are only as good as, one, their installation and the preparation and the structure below them. In other words, if you put a hardwood floor on a subfloor that hasn't been fastened well enough or properly, you're going to probably have some minor, if not extensive, issues to your floor in time. This week, a couple weeks back, I went in the house. They said my floor is separating. And I went in the house and looked at the floor in general, and the whole first floor was hardwood, and it was on a crawl space. And there were some minor, very minor areas of separation. And the house is 6 years old. This is common with wood floors. If you get a hardwood floor and it doesn't have any cracks or separation, it's amazing. Because ever since that house, about 3 weeks ago I went in, I've gone in. Yesterday I was in a house, 50-year-old house that had hardwood floors. Now, the hardwood floors in that 50-year-old house looked as well as any house I've seen. There again, it's on a basement, crawl space. But today's products, now take that house that was 50 years old. It was put down, that hardwood floor was put down on southern yellow pine, 1x6s, nailed twice on every joist, into yellow pine floor joist. So we have southern yellow pine floor joist, we have southern yellow pine subfloor, and you got hardwoods nailed to that over felt, builder's felt. Okay, now when we come back out of the break, I'm gonna finish this story, because it shows you the differences of yesteryears and today. So stay tuned. More about your house coming your way. And our guest, next hour, two ladies. We'll let them tell you all about who they are. Stay tuned. Rebuilding Together. And we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
be over at 10, you told me time and again, but you're late. I wait around and then I run to the door. I can't take any more. It's not you, you let me down again. Baby, baby, try to find a little time and I'll make you happy. I'll be home, I'll be beside the phone waiting for you.
Welcome back. One of my guests is here, but Abby Ring's here, but I'll introduce her when her counterpart gets here. But I was talking about hardwood floors, and maybe she can connect to this because she's worked in some old houses as well. But when you put today in today's world, hardwood flooring, typically good hardwood flooring, 3/4 inch thick, tongue and groove, should be nailed on every floor joist. Okay, but like I said, when you got a 50-year-old house with a subflooring, the southern yellow pine, put in there diagonal with 2 8-penny nails driven in every number 2 southern yellow pine floor joist, that's not the way it is today. In today's construction, yes, number two southern yellow pine is still used, but they also use spruce. Construction grade number 2 spruce framing. It's fine, but it's softer wood. It doesn't hold nails like southern yellow pine did. You say, why is that? Rosin, pine sap, call it what you want. But those nails, back 50 years ago, they used a common coated. That little green nails, steel nails, well, that green coating on that nail actually bit into the wood better, had a better grip than a smooth nail. Because I pulled a lot of nails out in my life, folks, a lot. And sometimes those 8-penny and yesteryears and yellow pine just didn't want to come out more as readily as they did in soft number 2 spruce. Okay? Well, the house today, the lumber is not what it was 50 years ago. And then on top of that, we're using 1x6, 50 years ago, 1x6 yellow pine subflooring. And today, unfortunately, it's OSB, and OSB is oriented strand board, and it's not near the same quality as that's our guest on the phone. Excuse me, I just got a phone call from the guest downstairs. It's not near the quality that the southern yellow pine is. Abby, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not familiar with actual hardwood floors. A lot of the stuff that we use in nonprofits is going to be the final floor plank. So
I got you.
Don't have much experience.
That's fine. That's fine. I was just curious. We'll tune you in a minute. But I'm telling you this because today's methodologies and materials aren't what they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. So therefore, they behave differently over a period of time. And I've seen it firsthand. Fortunately, I've lived long enough to see the comparisons between yesteryear's methodologies in construction and today's methodologies, okay? And it's not necessarily the way we do it as much as the products we use to get it done. In some respects, no, it's not as good. Not near as good. I do not like OSB at all. But yet, due to cost, can't afford plywood. But I'm telling you right now, if I was building a house, if I couldn't put plywood in it versus OSB, I wouldn't build it. That's just Ray Terry talking, okay? But plywood is, to me, light years ahead of OSB. Now, you would have people in the industry that would talk against that and argue with me. But I know that I've seen OSB decking on a roof just literally deteriorate into nothing. Nothing. And when I went back to repair it, OSB didn't go back on that roof, I promise you. Plywood did. So, you know, you pay now, you pay later. But back to hardwood floors. But when we're installing a hardwood floor on OSB that hasn't been nailed properly to start with, and sometimes it's not, would you expect that floor to behave top drawer? No. But you don't know that buying a house. You assume you're buying first top drawer quality and everything's perfect. It isn't. Sorry, in today's world, it just doesn't go that way. So, here we are. Now, the point in me bringing this up was just to let you know that if you've got a hardwood floor in your house and you've got minor separation, expect it, because wood shrinks, wood expands, and wood moves. And when it moves, it moves, and there's not much you can do about it except you could go face nail it, but you don't want to do that because then you see the nails through the, you know, through the surface of the wood. But there's some houses I go into with hardwoods that I can tell the minute I walk in the front door, they got issues. And you say, what could they be? Well, I see cupping. I see separation. But all of this is indicative of a situation with a crawl space and or crawl space installation and or materials weren't acclimated to the house as it was being built. Because what you should do is bring the hardwood flooring and let it sit in that house for at least 2 or 3 days and acclimate to that environment before you put it in. And it tells you this in the instructions. It really does. But are we doing that? Sometimes maybe. Hopefully all the time, but not always. Hughes Floor Covering, one of my over-the-years sponsors, great company. They've been, hardwood floors are the number one flooring desired in the Charlotte metro market. Hardwood floors, the top-selling floor. But LVP, luxury vinyl plank, LVP flooring, is by far sweeping the market in great, durable, resilient floor covering. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's just phenomenal product. But hardwoods, folks, it's wood. If it's not installed on properly installed subflooring and prepared correctly, you're going to have hardwood floor issues. So I bring this up because I'm hearing a lot of issues. And some of it has to do with the way we're building, the science in which we're building with today. Houses are built much tighter, a lot less humidity potential than of yesteryears. Because, you know, some of the people in construction say, your house has got to breathe. They did. They were dog crates back in the day. Now they're built like Yeti coolers. Big, and that's my analogy of it. You know, we built dog crates back in the 40s. And now we're building Yeti coolers. You know, you have to bring in fresh air. You got to. These are facts you need to know in this day and time about your house and the environment which it is. So I just want to talk about that a little bit because here lately, a lot of flooring issues are popping up. Not big issues, but I'll tell you this one more. I was under a house in Elizabeth day before yesterday, doing some plumbing work for my brother. And Lord of mercy, that house is probably 60, 70, maybe 80 years old that I was under. And I saw, there again, old. The floor, the dishwasher in that house yesteryear had leaked. And the whole subflooring below that dishwasher is literally gone, rotten. And it was number 2 Southern Yellow Pine, you know, the old way, the old methods. But I love old houses. They have so much character. And you can take an old house and do a lot with it and make it more of a Yeti cooler, you might say, than it was. But it takes a lot of money because they're leaky. They weren't built with energy awareness in mind. Back in the 40s, it didn't matter how much the energy cost. They didn't pay a lot of attention to that. Not like today. So, if you're looking for hardwood floors, and one thing I'll wrap it up with because we're up against the clock here. When you're considering putting hardwood floors in your house and you see these wide planks, they're so pretty. They really are pretty. But they're going to cup. They're going to move. they're going to do things that you don't want them to do. And I would highly advise you not to go with a wide plank. I really, unless you're face nailing for looks in an old distressed floor, maybe. But as far as wide planks go, I rarely see wide hardwood floor without any issues down the line. Next hour, rebuilding together. Isn't that what we call it? I was right. Rebuilding together right here in Charlotte. I got Beth and Abby sitting beside me right now. I'll introduce them and let them tell you about their mission and what you could do to join the club, so to speak, okay? Join the initiatives. We've got a lot of great potential communities here that need some help, and that's what they do. But I'll let them tell you their story when we get back. We're going to take a break here, 704-227-8800, if you want to call. If you don't, that's fine, too. Go get your cup of coffee, whatever you want to drink, and we'll be here when you get back. 704-227, About Your House, Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Listen to us anywhere on the planet. Better yet, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Stream us live. We'll be right back.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
My guest, trying to get my computer back up. Sorry. Too much stuff to do. I got Beth Marson here and Abby Ring from Rebuilding Together. And I've known Beth for several years. We met somewhere at one of those meetings we go to and talk a lot or listen to somebody talk a lot. And they do that a lot. But but Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Great to be here.
Well, good to be good you're here. I got Abby here, Abby Ring. Abby, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Abby's very nervous, I can tell.
A little bit.
Well, don't be. Beth, tell everybody, I mean, I've seen you around, and how long's Rebuilding Together been in Charlotte?
In Charlotte, we started in
2010. Mm-hmm. So that's about 10, 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
There you go. So, and I've probably known you probably about that long throughout the industry meetings and all that you've attended to. What is Rebuilding Together?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit that works to repair homes and revitalize communities. So we provide critical home repairs for free for low-income families. And then we also work in communities to, you know, repair community spaces, green spaces.
You know. Right. Well, you know, I was talking earlier about the way we're building. and, you know, building a Yeti cooler versus a dog. Now, you said you're doing some studies right now. And you brought it up. You brought it up. So, and I know it's on your mind because you're going to learn about it.
Yeah. So I'm looking into energy burden and the idea of energy poverty. And a lot of, you know, low-income families who, you know, might own their home, but the home was built in the 50s. You know, we've worked in some houses where there is not a bit of insulation in the attic.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it's just crazy. And then if you see their heat bills, you know, their electric and gas bills, it's crazy. So I think that's something when we think about the affordability of housing, we don't always think about what else is contributing to make that a really a burden just to keep yourself cooled and you know,
comfort.
Warmed.
Yeah. Comfort.
Comfort, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And it has a lot of health impacts, especially for older people. If they can't regulate their, you know, stable body temperature, that can really cause some wreak havoc on their body.
Well, it's coming to winter. Luckily, Charlotte's not as cold as it once was. There is global warming, regardless of what you might read. I mean, it's a fact. And because I've lived in this town all my life, and we're not having the winters we did with me growing up. And that's just the way it is. However, when it gets down to 18 degrees at night, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold. And I've been in some of the houses in Charlotte. As I said, last week I was in one. These older homes built post-World War II in Charlotte and prior to World War II and post-World War II, right around that era, they were built with no wall insulation. Matter of fact, that duplex I'm doing in right now was built in the late 50s, has no insulation in the walls, and it had very little insulation in the attic. Now, that's one, but I was in a house down in Noda, North Davison area, you know, over on, what's the name of that road? It's been here forever. At any rate, I went in that house, and they were remodeling the kitchen. And I, you know, an old house, old. It's some of the older homes in Charlotte are in.
Yeah, those mill houses.
Yeah, they're just incredibly leaky is a good word. They're just like, there's nothing between you and the outside but plaster and wood siding,
mm-hmm.
lap siding. And that's not much at all. So, yeah, there's no building insulation at all in that wall.
Yeah.
None. And I could see light coming through one of the baseboards, and I said, whoa. And here's another factor in old homes people don't realize. You've seen the older homes in Charlotte have window weights
mm-hmm.
that run in a channel up and down each side. Abby's just bobbing. Yeah, yep, been there, done that. And these window weights, well, there's a cavity in that beside that window on each side of that window that's hollow. It has nothing in it but cavity for the window weights to go up and down. And you don't see them, but they're there. Some of them are at the bottom of it because the cord broke and they fail, and you can't get them until you... But there's a little window in each window jam that most of them are painted over. And the screws, you have to look real hard to find the cracks and all. Cut. You ever done that?
I've taken, those old windows out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you cut that groove where the old window weight window, you know, and you can reach in there and fix them. But a lot of people don't know that exists. I've re-strung and recorded old windows, unbelievable. Many in yesteryear, but now they just take them out and replace them, which you should do because that cavity is a hollow cavity. And that's the only thing, you got brick mold on the outside and door casing on the inside, and that's it. Cold, cold houses, right?
Mm-hmm. And now they have those window panes that don't let as much heat in.
Right.
In those new windows.
Right. Oh, the technology in windows have changed tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you learning in your class? I mean, what do they teach? I'm just curious.
Well, so I'm studying energy poverty as part of, I'm in my last semester of a master's program at UNC Charlotte. So that's kind of my last research project. And I wanted to find something that related to housing and, you know, what we do at Rebuilding Together. So finding that a lot of a lot of older neighborhoods are experiencing greater energy poverty, especially tree canopy is related to that. You know, people are afraid of trees falling on their house. They might want to cut them down, but they don't think about the cost savings of, you know, shielding from the hot sun.
Right. Yeah. And you bring up something I talk a lot about on this show about right now, for example, why the foliage is still on the trees. You've got, you can go outside and see if there's contact or what kind of contact you have with the canopy over your house or trees over your house. And you should have, I know it cost, and I realize that too, and there's the burden of cost right there. If you, a lot of these homes you're talking about were willed in old family estates given to these families, and they can't, am I correct on this?
Yeah, that's right.
And they can't afford the maintenance, the TLC it's required for an older house. And that's where y'all come in.
Yeah, exactly. The annual household income on average of the families we served last year was just $22,000.
Which is nothing.
You know, that's a roof and a furnace.
Yep.
So imagine, you know, that's your whole, every penny you have for that whole year. How are you going to replace a furnace when it goes out?
Or roof. Or, yeah, or repair where a tree fell through your roof or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I went in a house, sad but true, one time over in Starmount. And these are, you know, post-World War II and later homes, and there was a hole in the kitchen, in the roof, and it was just destroying that kitchen over time. They just couldn't afford it, which really made me aware of these issues. Tremendous, you know, and I'm sure you see a lot of things out there that aren't good.
Yeah, yeah, it's great to be a part of this work, to come in and, you know, sometimes we're the only option people might have to get their home restored and keep it in their family for that generational wealth so that they have something to pass on to the next generation.
And not only do they own the home, they've got to pay the taxes, property taxes.
That keeps going up too. So
yeah,
that's another,
if you're in Charlotte. The only light at the end of the tunnel, because of property values, if you're in the right part of town and you can sell it at one time, it might be your pot of gold in this town right now. So, I mean, I don't know if you've got families looking to that, but Lord of mercy, the way Charlotte's going, the teardowns, and the way, I mean, take Greer Heights. You've worked in Greer Heights, probably, I'm guessing.
Maybe. Yeah.
You have. I would have guessed it.
Yeah, and we had a bunch of projects in the Cherry neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
You know, a number of years ago.
Right, but Cherry neighborhood's turned almost completely now, hasn't it? And that's what I'm talking about right there, you know, because Greer Heights is turning. And it will go away as Greer Heights as we know it today. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's the way Charlotte's growing. So do y'all do work out in Roswell's Ferry area?
That's actually right where our neighborhood is. We're working in the Lakewood community. So right now we have 24 houses that we'll be doing repairs on throughout the whole next year. So
right. Christmas in April. Do you remember that? You
Yeah, that's what Rebuilding Together started out as way back in Texas. It was called Christmas in April, and then, you know, everybody likes a rebrand, so in the 80s it became Rebuilding Together.
I was the team leader on Christmas in April with Nary.
Yeah.
I can't remember what year that was, but we, Lakeview, what's the name of that community out in Roswell's Ferry where you're at?
Lakeview now.
Lakeview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did three houses there. And way back, Christmas in April, and, you know, we did that. So there you go.
I knew
there was a connection here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go way back, and we did several houses. Matter of fact, I think it was 3 years Nary was involved in, you know, the annual, so to speak, neighborhood thing, and we did some really neat things, you know, for some people.
Yeah, that's coming up next week, actually, on October 7th and 8th, that we're going to be working on 9 houses over those 2 days.
Oh, really?
And building some picnic tables and benches and redoing a community garden.
Awesome. So
that's our biggest event of the year this year.
Are there any people in the industry coming out to help?
We're working on that. So Lowe's is our main sponsor for that. So
right.
We're getting some, you know, skilled people from some Lowe's stores coming out. And then we're reconnecting with Nary. Trying to get back in. We had our last, in 2015, we had a great Nary project called Ben's Bathroom, where we did an addition for a kid in NOTA who, you know, needed a more accessible bathroom.
Right, accessibility, yeah.
So well, we'd great. Love to get more of those projects going.
Well, I'll do everything in my power to help motivate that because I'm getting back in Nary. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll see. And I want to, my whole, and I'm being very transparent, as they say, my whole motive by getting back involved in the industry is to help perpetuate growth in the industry and knowledge and education in the industry and help people find jobs because, well, we've said nobody knows how to swing a hammer or work with tools anymore. And are y'all finding that to be a situation that affects the environment for what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Having skilled volunteers, skilled labor is very crucial to what we do and for us to be able to get the work that we committed to done. So,
and you said Lowe's is a sponsor. Lowe's is helping out a lot these days. And I'm in here giving them hell about what they're paying their people, but I don't care. It just extends to the fact that we all need to get on the same page together. You know, you can't work if you don't get paid. You know, that's what we've got. Jobs. I don't like jobs. I like passion, purpose. But anyway, are Lowe's furnishing materials for this job?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll work with their vendor partners and help us get some material donations, or you know they'll give us some gift cards and we'll just go on a shopping spree to outfit all the materials we need.
I got you. But Lowe's is helping out in a big way there. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
am. That's super. Fantastic. What are y'all doing next weekend?
We're working on, it's our Building a Healthy Neighborhood big event of the year in the Lakeview community. Uh-huh. So we are working on 9 houses
wow.
over 2 days and then doing some kind of community projects also in
right.
the neighborhood.
Awesome.
So we still have some volunteer spots available.
How would
days.
They get in touch with you if anybody wants to come? Let me do a little thing here. To me, this is a great opportunity for families to come out and help. Now, I realize you're saying, oh, my God, people inexperienced. But you know what? I remember because we had a lot of people that didn't know a lot. But it's amazing if you just pay attention and think about what's going on, what you can do to help. And not only you, but your kids. This is what I'm interested in. And then we got safety factors to worry about. Everybody wants to bring safety up as a major concern. Well, heck yes, it's a concern. Common sense and intellect go a long way. Okay? Come prepared. Come prepared. But get your kids involved. Here's an opportunity right here where people can get involved in the community. And expose your children to the trades. If nothing else, have them come out in shadow. Just watch. Would you go for that?
Yeah, our volunteer age requirement is 14 and up. So usually, you know, we do have kids coming out with a parent.
14 and up?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Lord of mercy, that's great.
Yeah.
14 and up. And we'll talk more about logistics when we get back. I'm up against the clock here. We got to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Rebuilding Together.
Me. If you find a way, as you know it, please don't leave. is half a man with no sense of pride. But if I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping if it'll keep you by my side. Cause I wanna keep you any way I can.
All right, welcome back. I have Beth Morrison and Abby Ring here from Rebuilding Together, talking about how you can help them help people. So see, here we go again. It's a village. It takes a village. It takes many people. It's always about us. It's not about me. It's about us. That's the mantra we should live with. I believe, anyway. I think it works real well. You know, we got to help our communities and help people in it. Abby.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Abby is, can I tell them how old you are?
Yeah, you can tell them.
Abby is a 30-year-old young lady in the construction industry. Works with tools every day, I think. But I'm going to let her tell me what she does.
Yeah, so I am the construction manager for Rebuilding Together. We do critical home repairs. So, you know, we're out there flooring. Currently, right now, we just repaired some new front porch steps. We did a little Juliet porch for a homeowner. And now we're working on her handicap ramp.
A what?
A Juliet porch.
What is a Juliet
porch? So she has a little exterior door, and it's on a slab or on a crawl space. So it's just like a little balcony porch so she can walk out there and have her coffee and stuff in
the
morning.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
But how long have you been in construction?
So I've been in construction almost 4 years now. I got involved right after Hurricane Harvey. I wanted to do something to help, and I did a Google search and found a nonprofit that would take unskilled laborers, and I went down and I signed up for 2 weeks, and after being there for a day, I knew that I needed to make
this. What'd you do before this?
I was in retail.
Really?
Yes, I worked for Dick's Sporting Goods at their flagship store in Robinson.
All right, I'm interesting story. I'm glad I brought it up. so you were in retail.
Yes.
At the ripe age of 25 years old, basically.
Yep.
And you wanted to change. Did you want to change? Is that what you, I mean, personally, you just said, I want to get out of here?
So I studied public health in school, and I really just didn't have a clear path on what I wanted to do. And I started working with Dick's, and then I just got burnout of the schedule, not being
the corporate BS.
Yep, the holidays and all that. So, and then right. I found a way to help, and ever since then, I've worked with numerous organizations from All Hands and Hearts to Habitat for Humanity, the Fuller Foundation, which is the guy who also started Habitat.
Right,
but
sure.
So now he has his foundation, and I worked with them, and now Rebuilding Together. And so, yeah, different housing.
So you work with tools.
Yep.
How do you like the whole change of scenery here?
Oh, I love it. I mean, the first time that I ever went onto a project site, we were putting in a pocket door. The drywallers actually left a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And
it caught the door and scratched the door.
Yep. Well, we couldn't even close the door all the way. So then me being a little girl, like the littlest person on site, I had to squeeze my arms in there with a pry bar and try to get that out. But when I finally got it out, that was one of the first things that like I successfully did in construction. And that was just a confidence boost. And then after that, we did the baseboard and the quarter round, and I used the miter saw, and I was like, wow, okay, this is really, really cool.
Were you ever apprehensive when you started using power tools, Beth, about safety, about the concerns? I mean, I realize you got a brain and you used it, and it worked out, right?
Yeah.
But were you ever?
No, not really. I grew up, my dad, my grandparents, both my grandfathers were always handy. Well, currently my dad's working on an addition. He closed in his sun porch and made it his man cave.
Cool.
So,
where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Ohio. So, yeah. So I've
family all, still back there?
Yeah, they're all still in Ohio.
What brought you to Charlotte, if I might ask?
Habitat for Humanity.
Awesome.
So I took AmeriCorps position with them and then stayed for, I did their new home, I did critical home repair, and then I just loved Charlotte and had the opportunity to apply for the position with Rebuilding Together, and it's been great.
And now you're a 30-year-old female construction manager for a nonprofit.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That is really, well, I commend you.
Thank you. That's great.
So and you, but most of all, are you happy?
Oh, I've never been happier. Like, this is what I enjoy to do. I couldn't imagine waking up and doing anything else.
Do you have purpose?
I do have purpose. Knowing the relationships with my homeowners, the stories that I get to hear every single day whenever I go out and visit them, and just really truly know them, know why they love the home so much. Like, honestly, they become family to me, and it's just really nice to know that I'm helping keep them in their house and be able to make even more memories within their home and pass it down onto their families.
That's awesome. I commend you. And keep it up and teach along the way. You're an inspiration, whether you know it or not.
Well, thank you so much.
And I hope you continue. And now let's go to your counterpart here, Beth. Okay. How long have you been in construction?
Well, I started out as a volunteer in 2011 with Rebuilding Together. And, you know, I was working for a bank and wanted to, you know, find something to do, not sitting in a chair. So I became a volunteer, and then I let it take over my life. I loved it. It sucked me in, and I just kept volunteering and joined the board of directors in 2014, and then was able to transition into our first full-time executive director in 2018.
That's awesome. So now you're the executive director, kind of step back a little bit and not... I'm sure you get involved from time to time, like next weekend, you'll be very involved. And I'm not saying you're not involved, but there's a lot to running a, you know, operation. How many people does Rebuilding Together have now?
Right now we have a team of five.
Of five?
Yeah. Oh, six. Sorry. we just had another AmeriCorps member start a couple weeks ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you've got six people. That's you inclusive?
Including me, yeah.
So there's a team of six now. Do the other five, are they field workers, so to speak?
We really all are.
All are? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, of course, Abby and our construction assistant, Jason, are the ones that are most often in the field. But we're such a lean team and so much work to be done that a lot of times, you know, one or two days a week, we're all out doing repairs. You know, last weekend I built a set of stairs on the outside of a porch. So we never get too far from the work, but we still have to find the time to write the grants. And
can you cut a stringer?
I watched somebody do it.
Yeah. Okay. How about you?
Like,
I can.
You can cut a stringer?
I can, yes.
Cool. That's great. My first job ever in construction. Well, actually, I built a treehouse or two, but my first job was to build a set of steps, and I was 18. And I went and bought a framing square. And you know, when you buy a framing square, it's got this little book with it. And that little book is full, a plethora of intel on how to use that piece of steel you just bought. And a framing square, they ought to give classes in school about a framing square. Because if you only understood what all those numbers meant, I don't.
I'm not even gonna lie and say I do.
But there's a lot on there, isn't there?
There is.
It's like looking at a calculator, and people of old school know what every number represents. And if you know what's in a framing, on and around a framing square, you know a lot of stuff. But guess what? It's all based on third grade math. Every bit of it. Third grade math. Now, when you get people out in the field, do they all know how to read a tape measure? The first inclination was no.
No.
I was ahead.
No, definitely not. But I do like to make sure I have like the cheater tapes when we have a lot of volunteers, so all the fractions are on there for them. So.
You're a kid.
Oh, I'll definitely get those out because I'd rather be precise.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
so I get it.
Those are definitely very helpful with volunteers.
Yeah.
You have a lot less questions.
Well, I brought that up for a reason. There's something we're not teaching kids in schools, another one. Besides not being able to read a dial clock, they don't know how to read a tape measure. Folks, this is school we're talking about. Public education. But yet they don't know how to read a tape measure. Why is that? I don't understand. And why are you taking clocks out of classrooms? I don't understand that. And you wonder why I raise hell like I do? Go to school and see what your kids aren't learning. Not are, aren't. It's amazing. Here we are, 2021, and kids can't read tape measures. But they can hold a smartphone and punch all the little buttons on that, though, can't they? And half of what they're punching don't make a bit of damn difference about anything except them. There it is. Tape measure. Back on track here, Ray Boy. I just have to throw this out every now and then because it's a way of life that we don't have that we should have. So you've been in construction since 2011, basically.
Yeah, starting off as a volunteer and just absorbing as much
and
as I
And what'd you
could.
Do before then? Probably went to college.
Yeah.
And school.
I went to school. I majored in geography. So looking
that
at
really nice, you know,
how cities are formed and all of that was really interesting to me. But then I think I also did AmeriCorps. I did a year of AmeriCorps Vista.
What is that?
AmeriCorps is a national service program. Mm-hmm. So kind of the domestic equivalent of the Peace Corps. So you're in your community, in a community, you know, serving for
it's Peace Corps within communities.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I had a year of that, and that really made me want to just be, you know, either volunteering or directly employed in the nonprofit industry, just to be able to have a livelihood where you have that passion and feel like you're making a difference.
Purpose.
So, yes, exactly.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Are y'all looking for other positions? Or new, I mean, I know you got a budget and you got to go according. Where do y'all get your funding from? Just strictly donations, nonprofits, through foundations?
A lot of corporations. So corporate partnerships, you know, companies wanting to send their team out for a day and,
right.
and help, you know, repair a house. So that's one of our biggest sources of funding. We do get some funding through the city of Charlotte. So HUD funding that we use that to really leverage to replace roofs to have a deeper impact on some of the houses we serve.
Yeah, roofs are very important.
Yes.
They're very important.
Yeah.
First line of defense, roof.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's called shelter, roof yeah. over my head. And that's why on this show I talk about roofs a lot because they are your first line of defense. And here we are in fall when we have trees. Once again, go outside today and take a little survey, assessment of your trees. And Damon Barron, if he would ever call me back, we keep playing phone tag. I'm going to have him on the show with some arborists, and we're going to talk about the tree situation. And I know arborists, tree people, tree surgeons, call them what you want, they're expensive.
Yeah, that's one of the partnerships that we're most excited about is we've just started working with Trees Charlotte.
Wonderful.
You know, they're the nonprofit that provides trees and helps plant and restore canopy, but they're also starting to get into tree care. So mm-hmm. for one of our homeowners in Lakeview, they recently just went in. Abby, how many trees did they cut down?
They cut down 8 trees all around his house. And, I mean, they were in and out within a day. It was insane.
Wait, and here's something else. Damon, Carolina Urban Lumber, do you know him?
Mm-mm.
Well, see, they'll take those trees and mill them.
Oh, cool.
They'll mill them and label them where they came from. He's been on the show before, but he's going to come back, and we're going to talk about that because if you, like, for example, you have a big tree in your yard you've got to take down for whatever reason, they will come out and take that tree and mill it, and you can claim. There's always a way you can use that lumber,
yeah,
you know.
That's really
so
cool.
So you're recycling it. You're not just burning it or chopping it up or chipping it or whatever. So there's another thing that's happening in our community that we want to make aware, to make known to people, that you can take your trees and they have value, especially today. There's a lot of red oaks in this town, and red oaks are nice trees. There's maples, there's walnuts, there's sycamores, there's all kind of great, valuable lumber in those trees, and they can be recycled and used. So, and you know, that's part of, like those trees you took out of that yard, you know, this in the city's working with them on doing that. So it's, like I say, here we have more teamwork going on.
Yeah.
So it works. It really does. But trees, they can cost a lot of money. And I'm excited to hear about you got a partnership going on.
Yeah, I mean, that if we were to pay for that just out of our general project budget, we would have to drastically cut, you know, the other things that
other
we could
things,
do in the
yeah.
house. So that partnership is really great for us and is really taking off that burden for the homeowner. You know, one of the trees was literally growing right next to his house.
Right.
That's
not good.
It was about to be in his house. So,
right.
Yeah, really, really helping him sleep better at night, knowing that, you know,
right.
his house isn't going to have a tree fall on it or grow into it.
And I don't know how many people experienced a tree falling on your house before, but when Hugo came through, a tree can do, well, it's catastrophic. Catastrophic what it can do to a house. Literally, once a tree falls on your house, building standards are going to come out and declare it unsafe, and you're going to have to rebuild it.
And that's one of the things sometimes we find homeowners who, you know, cut back on their homeowner's insurance because, you know, it becomes, well, if I only have this much per year, I'll just hope that nothing happens. But that tree comes and falls on your house and that house is gone.
Right.
You know?
So. Exactly. Well, going back to Abby. All right. You're out there doing work.
Yes.
Every day. What are some of the things you see continually that you learned on with people and houses and stuff? You know, there's some common things I know that you see quite frequently, and maybe I'm asking you, cornering you here, and I don't want to do that, you know, put you on the spot, but can you share some of the things?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things, and even when we do our first home visits, a lot of homeowners, I've had a couple that didn't even know where their electrical panel was. They're like, my lights don't work. And I'm like, well, did you check your breaker box? And we'll go to the breaker box and they're tripped. And
right.
the lady lived there for 6 years and said the outlet never worked the whole entire time she lived there.
Wow.
But the breaker was just tripped 6 years and she had no idea.
Right.
And so that is definitely a big thing. I would say a lot of people have leaky faucets. So they let their
plumbing.
Sink. Yep. They
plumbing.
Let their
we
sink.
We talk a lot about plumbing.
They'll,
yeah.
Yep. They'll let their kitchen sinks leak and then it just rots out their whole entire cabinet. So then, you know, you got to go back in and replace the cabinet and change out the sink. So, or not the sink, the actual faucet set. But.
Right. When most of this work is very, very easy to do.
Yeah, if you would have just fixed the actual faucet right, before it got to that point.
And,
you
know, deferred maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big advocate of DIY, of course. But if you don't know what tools are or how to use tools, you're not going to, you're fearful. Well, I can't do it. Well, see, I don't believe in I can't. You can. You just don't want to, apparently, or don't know how, and you fear. Well, fear's an enemy. When you fear, it's just going to hold you back. In many ways, if you don't do it, it's going to cost you on another day. So, you know, this is something that, well, with Habitat, I taught a class for 10 years on home ownership, you know, because most people that have, through Habitat, they've never owned a house. They have no clue what they're getting into, so to speak. Well, you know, it's a big responsibility to own a house. That's why I don't want another one. It's an ongoing, perpetual situation in your life, owning a home. You know, living and renting a home is simple. Pick up phone, my faucet doesn't work. They'll come out and fix it. You know, if you pay your rent on time and every month. But this you know, what you're saying here, and that's why I ask you the question, and this is something we need to do collectively, is teach more homeowners how to do things. You know, yeah, you can pay somebody or you can rely on a nonprofit or whatever, but in actuality, you would feel much, much better and more purpose-filled if you could do these things.
Well, that's one thing that we're actually looking to do. We have a space called Innovation Alley. It's a shared workshop space with She Built the City and DigiBridge. But one of our things...
So you're working with She Built the City?
Yeah, we have a shared space with them.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're always in the same...
They were on a show a couple weeks back.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, so we have that shared space where one of our questions with our homeowner application is, what tools do you want to know how to use? What do you like? What's one repair in your house that you would like to be able to fix? And then after we get responses through that, you know, bringing those homeowners in and saying, you know, there's five people that wanted to know how to change out their plumbing, or five people that wanted to change out a light fixture, and just being able to get the people, because obviously when we go into these houses, like, I have a homeowner, she was like, is there anything we can use a hole saw on? She's like, I really want to know how to use it before I do, because she's doing a DIY vanity sink. So
right,
she wants
sure.
to be able to cut that out. So she's like, is there any way we could, like, you could show me how to use this before I mess up the vanity? So just, like, different things like that to really get the homeowners connected and have that confidence to be able to come back in, you know, after we're done, maintain their house and do the repairs.
Gotcha. All right, I got to take a break here. Last and final break of the show. I got Abby Ring, Beth Morrison here. Do you go by Beth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to be sure I got the name right. We're going to talk a little more and wrap the show up when we get back. You come on back. We'll be here. Songs. Miss that old boy. There's the old songwriters of yesteryears. They had a lot going on. They really did. You could, I don't know. Yeah, sorry, I get off in my music. All right, my guest this hour has been Beth Morrison and Abby Ring, and I'm tickled to death y'all came in, because y'all exemplify women in the trades, and that's awesome. And I just appreciate you being here. I really do. And what you're doing in the community as well. Abby, you're an inspiration, and both of you, actually. Beth, how many other ladies do y'all have in your organization?
So
you got six. How many of you are women?
It's four women, two men.
Look at that. Yeah. Ain't that wonderful? Do all the ladies work with tools?
Yeah, everyone does. So everyone that works with us, we're all familiar, and we're all able to semi-lead a group on volunteers. If it's a paint day, flooring, everyone will hop in and help out and
right.
learn some.
Okay, next weekend, you got an event coming up. You're going to be working on nine houses. in the Lakeview community, off Roswell's Ferry Road, if my memory serves me correctly. And you could use volunteers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's Thursday and Friday next week.
Thursday and Friday of next week. You corporate people out there that need something for your people to do to feel good, listen, it's a feel-good event, okay? You go out there and work all day, and it really will change your perspective on life, actually. So now, how would people volunteer? Who do they call? How do they get in touch or whatever if, in fact, they want to play?
Yeah, the volunteer opportunities listed on our website. It's rebuildingtogetherclt.org. And then
rebuildingtogetherclt.org. Mm-hmm. Okie dokie.
Yeah, and then and it's under the Get Involved tab. You can find all of our volunteer opportunities. And if next Thursday or Friday don't work, we also have, you know, lots of we've opened a bunch of days throughout the fall. You know, because Abby said we had 24 houses apply for our Building a Healthy Neighborhood program in Lakeview. So the work is not going to stop after
next
week.
Oh, no, it's not. It's perpetual. It's going to go on.
It's just getting started. So we could take all the help we can get.
All right. And, you know, here's something I'd like to advocate. Get your kids out of school and take them out there to help. RebuildingTogetherCLT.org. I'm sure there's a form or something that you can volunteer with on that website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get your kids out of school. That's right. Get out of school. They're going to get more education those 2 days than they'll get in school. I promise you. If nothing else, give them a tape measure and tell them to figure it out. I'm serious. Folks, you would do wonders for yourself and your children in a volunteer capacity if you just jumped on board and took your kids out there. Even if it's a bit chaotic, which sometimes they can get pretty chaotic, I'm aware. But really, take your kids out there and get them exposed to the trades, because you're going to be doing probably electrical, plumbing, carpentry, all of it. Am I right or wrong? A little bit of something.
We'll be switching out some sinks and light fixtures, yeah, so a
See,
little
light
bit of
fixtures,
everything.
A little bit of electricity.
Yep.
You're not going to do any major electrical.
No.
I get that.
Yeah.
Mostly maintenance, TLC, light fixture replacement, maybe a receptacle or two, a switch, whatever, basic electrical maintenance. And there will be people to advise you how to do it safely and not get electrocuted, as well as plumbing, you know. So those are great, wonderful things to expose to your kids and yourself, maybe. And once again, folks, a lot of people are walking away from their jobs. There's opportunity in this community, in the trades. Unbelievable. Endless. Over 80,000 jobs in the Charlotte area right now. Probably more, because I don't believe any numbers they throw at me anymore. You know, they're always higher than what they tell you. Or some of them, they're higher than what they're lower than what they tell you. They're telling you how to scare you. Anyway, get up, turn on, tune in, rebuildingclt.org. Take your kids out. Expose them. You game?
Definitely. We'd love to have you.
So there you go. Should they bring anything? I'm just, what should you have when you show up, so to speak?
Well, we provide all the tools and materials, but definitely don't wear clothes that you will mind getting dirty.
Don't wear tennis shoes that you don't want to get dirty. You got to get something. Oh, God. When these kids
all
show
up. All closed-toed shoes, please.
Yeah, closed-toed shoes. No flip-flops. No sandals. Common sense applies here, okay? Basic safety, cover your feet. Better yet, if you got some boots, put them on. Better yet, steel toes. But not everybody has steel-toed shoes. I got a pair I can't stand wearing. Actually, I got two pair I can't stand wearing. I hate that steel thing in my toe.
Oh, I like mine, but you can completely see my whole entire steel toe in my boots. I think it's time for new ones.
Well, that's good. How long you had your boots?
A little over a year.
Really?
So I got about a year out of my boots.
Wow.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I used to. Now they last longer because I'm not doing as much. I blow out the left side of my left shoe. I don't know what, because I crawl under houses, and it seems to get more friction there. I got a pair of boots, perfectly good on the bottom, but the whole side's out. I wonder if I can take them to a leather shop and they fix it, put a patch there. Because good boots are, man, they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm, especially
right?
Once you get them broken.
Yeah. You know all about that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You ever met Kayleen McCabe?
I have not.
You know who she is?
No.
You will. She's out in Colorado. She's a big advocate for the trades and women.
Okay.
Actually, trades, period. Doesn't matter what sex or gender you are. She's all for it. But, you know, I appreciate what you're doing and offering these lines of knowledge, you know, to the mix, so to speak. It's another way we can inspire and teach people about the trades and the benefits of knowing how to fix stuff yourself.
Oh, absolutely. If you would have told me this straight out of high school, I probably would have laughed at you if you would have ever asked if I would be in the trades. And now there's just so many things that my brother calls me and will be like, hey, what should I do to fix this? I have in his attic, I told him to put insulation board because he was getting a draft in there, and just like different things like that, that I would have never been able to answer or even thought that I would want to answer or care to. And now
it's awesome.
A dream come true.
We did a Christmas in April event way back, and we did the show live from Christmas in April that Saturday. Let's look down the road and see if we can, you know, look at a big event and see what we can make happen.
Yeah,
that would be
awesome.
Fun. That would be fun. Get some vendors involved for food and everything else and make a big event out of it. And my purpose is strictly to motivate people to get involved in the trades. Mm-hmm. I just be straight up.
Sometimes it's just that first volunteer opportunity that can show people, you know, I can do this and I want to do this.
Right. Or they love it. Man, mm-hmm. Why didn't I do this? Like kids, when I go speak to them in school and really show them and explain to them, they look at me like, this is a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Well, you never knew about it until we come and told you today. If you don't know what you don't know, mm-hmm. until somebody tells you, right?
Exactly.
Just like you, Abby. You never dreamed you'd be doing what you're doing.
No.
But you're loving it, having fun, great purpose. Do you get paid?
I do get paid.
Wow, what a concept. You get paid too? Yeah, I can't believe it. One guy, a tour guide out west when we were in Utah, he drives a four-wheeler, one of these buggies on sand and all. He said, and they even pay me for this. That's awesome. Well, gals, ladies, thank you for coming in today. We're about out of time here. The clock's up against us. I really appreciate it. Folks, if you're looking to spread goodwill and teach yourself as well as your kids, expose you to a different side of life called the trades, next Thursday and Friday, RebuildingTogetherCLT.org. Pull your kids out of school. Put them in the car. Take them out there. Put on the right shoes. Think safety. Take what you need. And take a little water, too, just to be on the safe side. Okay? Go out and volunteer. Thank you both. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Anything
you
want to
say in closing?
No, just be a good neighbor.
Be a good neighbor. That's good. Spread the love. Well, folks, next Saturday, speaking of your house, we're going to have a catastrophe company. After Disaster is going to be on with an insurance, an insurance adjuster. We're going to talk about, well, what if you come home from vacation and water is coming out your front door, or that tree next door fell across your house? What do you do? Or, worse than that, a fire. Can't think of anything worse than a house fire. Terrible. So, what do you do, though? What steps do you take? Where do you start? We can start now by taking pictures of everything in your house. But we'll talk about that much more next Saturday right here on About Your House. So go out there and spread some love. Help your neighbor. Find the elderly. They're not going to look for you. They're too much pride. So go reach out. Find out where they're at and what they're doing. Take note, folks. Spread some love. Help a child. Mentor. Teach. Inspire. Be effective with purpose. Spread the love. I love each and every one of you. We'll be back here next Saturday with more About Your House. Have a great week.
Yeah. Girl, happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah.